I have no financial relationships to disclose. Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to go to the other extreme. We heard about a pilot project, and I think many of us have engaged in pilot projects. Before we started this study, we had engaged in pilot projects, effectiveness trials, sort of before and after approaches, and finally, after years of struggle, we were funded to do an actual efficacy trial, which is a randomized intervention trial with a, you know, power calculations and a large sample size. So it was a very exciting endeavor to finally be able to really use all the strict criteria that you use in a randomized study. And I thank all my colleagues who worked on that. The purpose of the study was to investigate the efficacy of the intervention that we had designed in South Carolina for adults with intellectual disability to increase physical activity, improve nutrition, and reduce stress for community-dwelling people with ID. As I said, we'd already published two articles. I think we already had over 900 participants in this study, and we saw people losing weight, and we thought they were maintaining their weight loss through our follow-up. But you never know when you're doing an effectiveness trial before and after if you're cream skimming, if you're finding the people who want to lose weight, they're ready to lose weight, and they go into this program, and it looks like this program worked, but it could be that any program would have worked because they were ready. So the question is, if you randomize people and not everybody starts at the same time, will this actual program work? We had to develop hypotheses, and I think, you know, I'm sort of been doing this work for over 20 years, and I think one of my roles in life here is to be a mentor. So let me tell you some of the challenges of doing this kind of work and getting funded for it. This was funded by the CDC, and we have an acknowledgement at the end. When you work with agencies like CDC, who put out RFAs and NIDR that give you a budget line, you know, a maximum budget, and you work backwards from that to figure out what you can do for that amount of money, you're really constrained. You have to sort of figure out your effect size based on the number of people that you can reasonably enroll in that time period for that amount of money. So some of these hypotheses that we developed were very generous in terms of 9 minutes hypothesizing that our participants would increase their physical activity by 9 minutes a day. That's pretty substantial. But we had to do that because of the way we calculated power. Does that make sense to people? Our other hypothesis was about lack of weight gain. So we weren't saying people would lose weight, we were saying that they'd gain less weight than the controls. And then we had hypotheses about how the mediation or the flow of the measured variables would occur. We, as I said, this was a community dwelling people with ID that lived in group homes or in apartments by themselves, supervised apartments with families, every version of residence in the community. We did do a screen before we did the informed consent to participate because we had to screen out people who had a low capacity to learn. We used the short portable mental status test with a very low bar. If you got four things right, so you had to know your address, where you are now, you had to know who the president was. A lot of people thought it was George Washington. It was George Bush at the time. You had to screen into the study. And we excluded people who we couldn't really accommodate in terms of medical conditions because of the way we structured the Steps Your Health program. When we couldn't measure BMI because we couldn't weigh people without their chair. We had to exclude those people from the study. We let a lot of people participate, and so in terms of signing the informed consent, we had to exclude them, but we allowed them to participate. We didn't tell people, you're not welcome. There was none of that. Okay, and this was our conceptual model of how we thought the different measured variables would flow from attendance to knowledge, basically knowledge and other variables relating to the exercise, stress, and diet, and then, of course, weight and increase in physical activity. We measured a lot of things. We used accelerometers, which are much more sophisticated than pedometers. You put them around your waist. You can measure the intensity, the frequency of stepping. And that was a big issue for a lot of the people in our study, because wearing the accelerometer at first seemed like a lot of fun, but it stopped being fun, and we were only giving people a $5 gift certificate to Walmart at each measurement time, and after the first measurement, people realized what $5 will buy you, which is not much. So again, that was constrained by the amount of money we had. And we had a physical activity checklist. We, of course, did weight and height measurement, dietary measurement, stress, knowledge, and quality of life. We started out with 602 people screened. We had 443 who actually enrolled. And as I said, many more participated. And then you see this next bullet with the dropouts. Very high dropout rate. And mainly, in talking to people about the reasons for dropping out, it was about wearing the belt and coming to the evaluations. This just is a baseline characteristic slide that essentially just shows you that the people in the control and the intervention group were about the same, no difference. The control group was not simply a waiting list control. People wanted to do something. We didn't want the intervention to be completely different than the comparison group, so they were getting classes about safety and hygiene while the people were getting classes about physical activity and nutrition. So there was an active control group. We did environmental assessments of the home. And one of the things that was interesting was that we asked people about the safety in their neighborhood going outside, and a lot of people told us we're not allowed to go outside when it's dark. So it wasn't about street lighting. We evaluated that independently. It was about how people limited other people's lives. That was important. We did a food availability. This is something we're very keen on in all of our studies. We don't ask people what they ate to do food diaries. People with ID don't want to do that. What we do is evaluate. We go in and, of course, with permission, we look in their cupboards, their refrigerator. We score the availability of different kinds of food. So it's an objective measure. We ask questions about life stress. We had to take and validate instruments that were designed for people who could do a Likert scale. People with ID can rarely do a Likert scale, so we had to make them into yes-no questions, and even asking about whether or not your response caused you stress was hard for people to understand and respond to. We did a life situation questionnaire, which likewise was a yes-no, don't-no response. I can talk to anybody about why we did these things if you want to. So here's the comparison of the completers and the non-completers, because I told you we had a big dropout rate. And essentially, other than a few years of age, they were the same. So we're hopeful that we can generalize to the whole group from the group that actually completed. And here is the sad slide, where there really is no real increase in minutes of moderate and vigorous physical activity and no significant decrease in BMI. As I said, we really weren't trying to decrease BMI. But we did have a success group. And here's the odds ratios for BMI change going down only over 12 months. And you can see we have some important findings here. People who lived in group homes were more likely, six times more likely to lose weight than the people who did not. And people who were in our intervention were 3 times more likely to lose weight than those who are not. So the difference between this slide and the other slide is taking account for all the other variables. So overall, the project was successful. It was most successful in one subset of people. And so, overall, we did have some success. We learned lots of important lessons, and I'm happy to talk to anybody further about this work. We're thankful for the money that we did get, although the cap cost us a lot of angst. Thank you.